Are you ready?
That's like a minor key. I'm always ready.
Okay, I think we're recording. Let's just talk and see what happens. Welcome to this episode of It's All Elementary. Today we're going to be talking about school districts and...
kind of a wide category.
Yeah, it is. But I think it's a really great idea.
Thank you.
To have them?
To talk about them.
Oh, okay.
So let's start with introductions, and I think you should introduce first because this was your idea. This is your brainchild. We're going to let you be in charge of this evening.
Okay, thank you. Naomi is my name, and I am a school
great. All right, good start.
I'm Naomi, school social worker.
I'm Candace, a special education teacher.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, go. That's her fault. I'm Lindy, a fourth grade teacher.
And my name's Chris, and I teach fifth grade. So why don't you tell us what inspired you to bring up this topic? Because I'm going to guess that it impacts a lot of people that may be listening to this, and that it impacts the four of us.
Oh, okay. Well, I was reading the old art form of a newspaper when I was in Minneapolis for my cousin's wedding, and there was this interesting article in the opinion section about school districts, mm-hmm. and how some of them are a little too big and unwieldy, and this one is specific to Minneapolis School District, but I think that we can all find some similarities in our own district. And just thinking in my own work, I work with a lot of smaller districts and rural districts, and just some of the differences that I see between that and a bigger district. I just thought it'd be interesting to kind of just touch on what happens when a district is really, really large, trying to manage everyone.
Yeah.
So I know you've done a lot of research.
I did a little bit.
Oh, a little bit of research.
But yeah, no, I think that's a great... So the topic we're going to discuss is kind of how districts are structured and what characteristics maybe cause districts to be more successful or less successful.
Mm-hmm. What it means to be in a bigger district.
Yeah.
As opposed to a smaller district.
So I actually came across, and I didn't research this on purpose, but I stumbled across like why we even have districts in the first place.
Some history.
Some history. I love history on these different topics. It's okay. But I found that it was actually more like, it sort of just became a de facto thing because originally the Constitution doesn't say anything about education.
Oh.
So it just sort of became this thing where it's like, well, it's left up to the states now. And, you know, at the time the country was really new, it only made sense where it was like you kind of had this local organization as like the base unit for uniting a town. And that's what kind of sparked like school districts coming into existence.
That makes sense.
And then it just sort of kept going from there. And it's like it varies so much from state to state. So like there's some, like Texas has over 1,000 school districts.
Oh, wow.
I read. New Jersey, even though they're very, very small, like it still has more than 600, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaii, the whole state is just one district.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's a huge,
mm-hmm.
there's no really
a
rules. It's each state kind of gets to decide for itself. Do any of you guys maybe want to talk about our district to maybe give like a kind of an overview of our perspective where we're coming from?
So our district serves a fairly large number of kids. There's 31 elementary schools, about 8 middle schools, and 4 big high schools. And then, of course, there's other schools within the district. There's a couple of charters that are part of the district, charter schools, but we serve a pretty large urban population.
Mm-hmm.
But the city is also surrounded by suburbs that serve smaller populations and definitely operate differently, some with significantly more funding, some with less.
Yeah.
But we're definitely big in different schools. Even you notice the difference in populations even between schools in the district.
Yeah.
What about the districts you guys went to growing up, like how big were they? Like, did you go to suburban districts or a more urban one? Or
no, mine was kind of neither. It was more of a small town district. It's a town of about 30,000, but we had one school district, one high school with about 1,000 kids in it to give an idea of like the scope of the district, and it was definitely very different. But it wasn't a district where there was tons of money. So
yeah.
Being a smaller district actually seemed to hurt us in that we weren't able to offer all of the AP classes that larger school districts were able to offer.
What about you, Candace?
Mine was definitely more suburban. And the city that I grew up in was like around 40,000 people. So we had two high schools and...
It was its own school district?
It was its own school district and I think like two middle schools and then several elementary schools. But I mean, it definitely had like this suburban feel where everyone is like, if you live in the city limits, you go to this school. And it's like a very traditional system that I grew up with in a very non-urban setting. So then moving into like this teaching role in a very urban district, it's been kind of eye-opening and just very different to see just how many people this one district serves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a difference.
My district was suburban, joined two towns together, and it definitely grew just when I was in it. There was a lot of expansion, and we ended up with, you know, it was one elementary school, one middle school, one high school, and by the time I left, I think there were four elementary schools. Still one middle school, but they built a new one and then a brand new high school as well, just because of so much expansion.
Wow. Mine was probably like a mix of, kind of like the district we're in now, like suburban and urban. Like I think technically it'd be considered a suburb, but still the city was like 200,000 people.
Okay, so pretty big.
So I think there's probably two dozen elementary schools and there's a bunch of high schools. Mm-hmm. But then I didn't go to the public high school because my parents like chose... They didn't want me and my sister to, so I went to public school in the district up through 8th and then switched to a parochial school after that. So yeah. So that's kind of good though, I think, that we all have kind of like different experiences growing up too. I think it makes a difference in how you perceive the district now.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe before we talk about some research, we could discuss like what... our feelings are, like, on a district. Not what our feelings are, like, our emotional feelings. I mean, you can if you want to. I'll just edit it out.
I have a lot to say about feelings.
But, like, working in a district that we work in now, what are some things you like about the way the district is structured? What are some things that you wish that you could change about the structure of the district? Like, what do you think are its strengths, its weaknesses?
Well, we're kind of in a weird spot right now that our district is actually, it's going through some restructuring, and it has, like, over the past year with a lot of the, not so much at our level, like the teaching in the classroom level, but in the, I don't know, like the higher ups,
yeah,
like superintendent roles and all of those roles kind of underneath, that's all been restructured. So I'm still kind of learning how that affects like chain of command and who is in charge of what. It seems to be slightly more streamlined than it has been in the past. And there's like an actual chart to follow, like chain of command if you need to follow, ask
flow
someone.
Charts.
Yeah, there's flow charts, which
flow charts.
I like them. They're pretty helpful.
Yeah.
But
and it seems like a lot of those positions that maybe are redundant or no longer necessary, some of those are being transformed or cut out, which is good. One, I definitely see many pros and cons of our large district and how it handles things. One thing that I really like about it is that many years ago, they tried to avoid schools being very different in the amount of resources they had, and so they paired elementary schools throughout the city, where they valued kids going to school in their home neighborhood, but they realized that if they only went to their neighborhood school, there'd be a huge disparity between the schools. So they paired so that each kid goes to the school in their neighborhood school for at least 3 years. So say two schools are paired, they would do K-2 in one of them and then 3-5 in the other neighborhood, the parent neighborhood. And that has kind of stuck for many years as a district. And depending on the pairing, it's more or less successful. There are definitely some places really on the edge of the city toward the suburbs where I think it's really tricky because you essentially pair a neighborhood that's very low socioeconomically with a really high, and it's, you know, bussing the kids back and forth. I think it becomes very obvious in the school who comes from which neighborhood, and yet I think the intent is still really good, trying to make sure that as much as we can, the schools stay on a similar playing field.
I think with a bigger district, there's more areas for support and to get support. I mean, where I went to school, there wasn't a school social worker, and there was maybe a counselor per building, if even that. Or I think by the time I graduated, there was a school social worker for the whole district. Whereas where we are now, there's a school social worker in just about every school,
mm-hmm.
or definitely in every school, but counselors in middle and high school. So I think that there's more areas for especially student services to step in, which I think is definitely necessary. I guess that's my own bias, but I like to think that we're necessary and helpful and can provide students and families and schools with resources. And so I think that that is a benefit of a bigger school district, is having more support, and then also having more support for teachers with the departments created for curriculum and instruction and just other student services in the main office, like
mm-hmm.
the central office. I think that is also kind of one of the barriers when there needs to be a decision that's made and you talk to this person, but this person needs to talk to this person, and then they need to talk to that person before they can all get together to tell you an answer.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the big issues that can come up in a bigger district.
Yeah.
I agree. It's hard to streamline anything. I feel like education already has a ton of variables.
Yeah.
But I also agree with you that resources in the larger district are wonderful,
mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, the human resources and the supports we can bring. But also, the high schools have the ability to offer so many more programs
yeah.
than
yeah,
smaller districts.
True.
They have so many more opportunities for students. Definitely more than, like, just than schools that are outside of suburbs or...
Yeah.
I mean, once you get out of the suburb ring, schools just don't have the resources to offer as many AP classes, and they don't have as much programming.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with you guys, too. I think the resources that a bigger district can get is probably one of the main reasons I like them. You know, it's you just like economies of scale, you can just
yep.
do more, and there's more people to get ideas from, and, like, you can track down, like, physical resources more easily, like different books you might need or whatever. But yeah, but like when you're talking about the flowcharts, sometimes up to a certain point, it's like the flowchart, it looks
like a
subway map, and you just like can't, you know, you're just like, how, this is never going
to
get.
Or by the time you get to the top of the chart where you're looking for it, it feels like you've been shot back into it, like
yeah.
the bottom again, and it's just like this continuous circle of, wait,
yep.
I just talked to that person.
And I think a bigger central district office takes away some of the autonomy from the individual school
mm-hmm.
because you might feel like you need to talk with the middle person
mm-hmm.
before you can make a decision on a school level,
right.
on a school level idea, because you just need to make sure that you're staying in line with everything.
Yeah.
So just, I feel like a lot of processes get elongated, and it's like, well, we have this crisis, what should we do? And it's like, well, I have to talk to four other people before I can give you an answer. And it's like, that's not
yeah.
okay right now.
Exactly, because sometimes you just need a decision
yeah.
right away.
Can we talk about how large districts especially are really like these multi-million dollar corporations
yeah, let's
that
talk
are
about
not
it.
Being run at, and I'm not saying that they should be run as a business, but I think certain aspects really should be streamlined, or people should be trained to run them more like these multi-million dollar corporations.
And that's exactly it.
You have so many employees, and you
yeah.
have so many people relying on these like services that your employees are providing, and I feel like school districts aren't run with like any of that mentality.
Yeah.
And
no,
again, like
waste.
I'm not saying it should be
everywhere.
like dictator CEO kind of going down, but I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I agree. I think you know, it's like it's a good, and we're probably the four of us are guilty of this too, right? Like you want people in schools generally who like want to be there,
mm-hmm.
right? Like I would say that we're not there for the money, like we're there because we like, you know, and the fame and glory, right? Obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, oh yeah, people want to be like, you want to be working in a school, and people are there because it's like, you know, you're there for this greater good, like you want to help the community. But unfortunately, I think that makes for not always the most efficient organization
mm-hmm.
because sometimes you just need people that are more like business minded,
yeah.
like to be more pragmatic and like realistic and like, okay, that's great. Like we are here to save the world, but like we still have to run 50 schools every single day and provide for these thousands of kids. Like we need to
mm-hmm.
there needs to be people
practical.
Who are less emotional
yeah.
about the
you
decisions.
Need a balance. We need both people, right?
Right.
And I mean it's tricky too, because I do agree that in a lot of ways schools need to be run like businesses to cut down on the waste and the kind of the redundancy. Where it kind of draws the line for me is when you think of schools in a business model. At an elementary school, I think it's limited. And what I mean is that in a business, you create a service or a product. And if
yeah.
your product or your service is not up to par, the business, you go out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas our services that we provide, they're human and they're children, and there are tons of outside factors that control
yeah. mm-hmm.
what we do in a way that just do not affect other businesses. Outside factors
yeah.
just do not control and dictate so much. And so it is really trying to find that balance of in what ways is a district like a business and where can we run it that way, and how do you account for all these outside pieces
right.
that
it's,
just
it's
don't
more
exist
like,
in the business world.
Right. Like you want the business principles to guide the logistics of a district, but not like the philosophy.
Right, and not
right.
the day-to-day,
okay.
or not even that, but not the like individual
exactly.
education of a student.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
We can't be completely driven so much by numbers and data
no.
that we forget that, you know, yeah, we're teaching fourth grade, teaching
exactly.
fifth grade. We are teaching children that are
yep.
tiny. And just really remembering that piece.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what makes the balance so hard.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many players, there's so many factors.
I
that
think
work.
You're right that it's really hard when there's such a focus on product, because we kind of talk about how there are, like, there is no if-then statement, because kids are kids and they're individuals and they have free will and they do what they want. So yes, when you're in a chair factory, all the chairs have to look the same, and if we do this, then the chair will come out like this. But
mm-hmm.
with kids, if you do this, that might work for some kids, but they're not all going to look the same and learn the same and do the same. So it's, there are so many other factors that we have to keep in mind, and this focus isn't always going to...
I think it also makes it hard, too, that we don't, in the lower grades for sure, we don't see the end product.
That's true, yeah.
You know, we can't see if we do this correctly and do we do this
yeah.
correctly, and they get what they need along the line. We don't get to see the end of it.
Right.
And I think it's hard when you're basically making a product if you're comparing kids. I mean,
yeah,
it's kind of a bad analogy, but if you're making something that you don't know the end result of.
Right,
yeah.
right.
You just trust that
point.
It'll get there.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of emotion in it, right? Because
mm-hmm.
one person thinks something is right. I mean, it's just
mm-hmm.
a lot along the way.
So that being said, it's like there is a lot of emotion into it and things that you can't measure. But, you know, we still have to be held accountable to certain things.
For
and,
sure.
And I agree with that. You know, I think it's getting, whoops, sorry, kind of extreme.
Don't touch my things.
But,
oh.
Okay, I can't right now. But then, like, why are you looking at all these huge cities in the country? And, you know, I can't think of one, I mean, like you were saying earlier, like, I can't think of one big city where
yeah.
you're like, oh, that city is known for having great public schools.
In that article, maybe you can post a link.
Sure.
It's an opinion article. It's not a researched article, but, I mean, the author did a lot of research, and it was very well written, and I was like, yes, you are 100% correct. But one of the things that he mentioned was a Harvard professor that said that there are no successful large urban districts in the country right now.
Right.
Which was like, whoa.
I mean, and it's...
It's true.
And
yeah.
some are really bad.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we're very lucky here if you do some comparisons to large cities around us. It's...
Yeah.
And then you think, like, that's shocking that there's no successful model right now for large urban school districts.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, where does that
yeah.
change come from? Or who's going to be like the test pilot district
right.
to try
mm-hmm.
out something new?
So there's all these other things, right, that you can't really control, like us as teachers anyway, or people that are in schools. Like, you know, pushing aside things like vouchers or, you know, like other more controversial things, if you're just looking at school districts that are trying like new models that they actually have some say over, there are some places that are trying like new things. You want to talk about the opinion article that you mentioned? I know they're not trying it there, but just as an idea, what you talked about Minneapolis with them splitting it?
Just the article mentioned that there had been talks about disbanding the school district and then having the suburban districts around it kind of absorb the schools. So getting rid of the large district and then just having the suburbs kind of sponge in the rest of the schools around it.
So the kids effectively stay where they are, but the operation of their schools
yeah.
is split between the suburbs.
And it would make the suburban districts a little larger, but probably still not to the extent of
mm-hmm.
what the Minneapolis school district is.
Because it seems like once you get past a certain point in size, then it's like you're saddled with all these problems of a large, like, you become so large as an organization that you can't respond
mm-hmm.
to what your schools need, to what your
yeah.
kids need anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it just and it's like, I know, it's almost like once you get to that point, it's like the point of no return, because you have to do something drastically different if you
and
want to be able to
there are barriers to that too. The burnout rate among superintendents is huge and getting bigger.
Yeah.
So it's like a flavor of the month approach. I mean, there's so many changes you can't keep up. And then superintendents lasting between 3 and 5 years.
Yeah.
It's not long. It's long enough to start initiatives and start working toward positive change, but it's not long enough to see it through before someone comes in with their own agenda, their own philosophy, their own ideas for changes, which just leads to this wasteful kind of bouncing back and forth of what we're doing. We're purchasing all these resources and services for our schools that then aren't used by the next superintendent, and they're changing so fast.
I also wonder how, if Minneapolis does go to that kind of, and not saying that they are, but
I think it was just in the past it had been brought up.
I just wonder, if a large urban district did that and split off into the suburban districts near it, kind of absorbing those schools. I mean, we talk about, mobility rate a lot, and one of, the big pushes in our district is to try and get things pretty similar across all of the schools so that, because we have a really high mobility rate, if a student is moving from one elementary school over here to this elementary school over here, that theoretically they should be getting the same or similar instruction no matter where they're moving to. So I just wonder how, if those schools would be absorbed by, probably 15, 20 other districts.
Right.
If there is high mobility there, that might be really challenging for those students and those families.
And how will the districts
say?
I know what you're going to say.
You know what I'm going to say, right? Stay with me on three. 1, 2, 3. Common core.
Whoa! That was impressive.
That was amazing.
Maybe that's where this starts to fit in.
Really? I think, in theory, yes. If everyone is teaching Common Core State Standards, yes, absolutely.
If they're teaching the standards
really...
and they're aligned throughout the year,
right.
Not exactly
the
same time, but by quarter or something, right? So if a kid moves during this quarter, they may miss a couple things, but they're still going to get most of it.
Right. The other thing that reminds me of is Department of Defense schools, where if you think about that, they have huge mobility rates, high mobility rates, right? And they've kind of already started to tackle this problem, where they do align things across military schools around the world, you know, and they have a system where they can easily share records between schools.
That's nice.
So, I mean, because it's the same kind of thing. So it's I don't know why cities aren't trying to learn that. That's a problem that the military has been facing for a long time. And so there are other. I just feel a lot of things in education like this. You don't have to reinvent the wheel every single time. It's why we should be looking at other people that have come across similar problems and what they're trying to do to face it,
Maybe we could do a follow-up and look at how school districts in other countries are run.
Would love to do that.
And not just, at the school level, but look at the district level.
That reminds me, I was reading a bunch of stuff, too, that was talking about, why we even have this model of, school boards, and it's I guess it's a very American thing. Not a lot of other countries do this.
Seems very judicial, the American justice system.
Yeah, and so it's, and, a lot of people are not super in favor of it because it's this weird thing where you're taking, it's there's local control, but the school district still doesn't have the control it needs to be able to respond to things, and you're at the whims of term limits and all this other thing, and it's exactly what you were saying, where you can't ever see rollouts all the way through because it's by the time you actually get to know what you're supposed to be doing, there's something new that you need to learn.
I also wonder, I feel like traditionally one of the roles of the school board has been negotiating with teachers' unions.
Yeah.
And I wonder, as we have recently become a right-to-work state, I wonder what that will do down the line. If that part of the school board's responsibility is taken out, it's a large part of their responsibility is...
Mm-hmm.
Working with unions and negotiating jobs or contracts with employees, take that away. I just don't know what will happen to that model. I don't know what it looks like in other right-to-work states.
Right. I don't know either. And, I mean, with politics aside about it, but just, I'd be very interested in trying, new ideas, but I feel the way that schools are set up, they're very resistant to any sort of major changes.
Mm-hmm.
And
our political system.
Yes, and not saying it's bad or good, but I think teacher unions play a big part in that.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how that goes because I'm sure that teacher unions, try to keep things mostly within the status quo to a certain extent in terms of large structural changes. So, I don't know what that's going to look like in the future. I had one other thing I wanted to bring up. Oh, dang. What was it about?
New Jersey?
No, I didn't want to talk.
California.
We could talk about New Jersey. No, not California. I love California, but...
Power.
Dang. Oh, this is what it was. Power. Glory. Sporks.
I had, like, electricity.
I did all this research, right? And then, actually, separately, on my walk today, I listened to a TED Talk, and it was this... It was... The topic was staying organized, and I thought it was, like, tips for staying organized in your life, which is why I listened to it, but that's not what it was about. It was about, like, structuring organizations.
Oh, okay.
And they interviewed this guy who was a... He was the CEO of this big company in Brazil, and I guess it was, like, his father's company, and he started working there in the 1970s, and it was very much like what you think of as a big company, like a president at the top, vice president, like, directors, like, a whole flow chart he talked about, you know, pyramid thing. And he went on in there and just, like, completely annihilated all of that and just, like, got rid of this, like, top-down structure and made everything, like, people were just self-responsible and, like, self-motivating. And now I guess, like, his company, when he was first taking it over, there was a couple hundred employees, and now it's, like, thousands. And
wow.
It's one of the biggest companies in Brazil.
Wow.
And just this idea of, like, you know, at a certain point, structured organizations like that slow people down, and it's not the way that humans are meant to be working together. So how can you know, it's kind of like this rigid system that's left over from factories and industrialization and stuff. So how do you get it to change in a way that's more responsive? You know, and I think that schools would be, like, a great place to test some of those ideas out. Like, I mean, you need structure, but we're not training kids for those factory jobs anymore. So why are we sticking with these systems that have been in place since the 1700s?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Agreed.
Yeah.
I think there's so much room for growth and improvement and positive change, but you're right. It's hard to make it happen, and I don't know what the move is, but I feel like we're kind of at a... I don't know, at least here, we're kind of at a tipping point.
Yeah, I agree. I feel it, too.
I mean, really, I just keep thinking at some point it has to swing to a place where we start to get better or we make major changes. Because right now, I've been in education like 11 years, and it is absolutely the worst it's been.
Oh, really?
It's very challenging as a climate right now. But it's not even productive. It's not even like things are hard. We need to come up with new ideas. It's like, here we are. We're just... This is where we're gonna live now for a while, in this really tough place.
Yeah.
Where all the decisions are made by people, not even necessarily in schools or in education.
Or know anything about what a school looks like.
Exactly.
Like, haven't been in school since they were in school, and are making all these decisions about schools.
Yep. And right now we're kind of at the mercy of that, with all of the changes that have happened in recent years. But yeah, it has to... at some point it has to... there has to be a change. There has to be a catalyst. It has to get better.
Yeah.
Otherwise, schools here, I mean, they will not get better, and they will not survive.
Right. I think we have time to do for a quick closing question before we get to your guys' brilliant closing. I have a couple more minutes left on this one. Why don't we, like, quickly whip share, if you could make one change, like, to the way the district was structured.
Our district?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, what would it be? Like, what would be the one change that you would want to make? Ready? I got mine. I can start with mine if you want me to, if you need time to think.
Yes.
Okay. I think for mine would be around the way that we offer, like, trainings and in-services to teachers. I think that the way that we do it now is very much, like, top-down.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wish that we had some kind of system where it was, like, teachers were able to actively, like, seek out the PD that they wanted, and, like, the district would support it in that way. You know, like, we should be accountable for what we're doing during those times, like, those PD days or whatever. But, like, I think it would be way more powerful for me if I was able to, you know, I'm really trying to get better at math right now. Like, I'm going to choose to attend this thing about math.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the one change that I would want to make.
Especially since the district probably has resources for that, and
right,
people who focus all day every day on math, so to be able to share that with people who are very interested in math would be great.
Right. So that would be the one change I'd want to make.
I would make purchasing much more intentional. I think that we purchase these things, whether it's curriculum, whether it's headphones for every student in the district taking the state exam, whether it's, I mean, we make these decisions, whether it's a behavior program, and before it's really rolled out or implemented, or we even make sure that we have enough resources to get it to every school we promised it to.
Yeah.
I think we change course way too much, and I think it leads to just people not taking it seriously when new stuff comes or being resistant to new possibilities because they know it's going to be so short-lived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We want us to be better about purchasing so we have more for what we needed for.
That's a good idea.
I would like to see more of the district personnel or more of the, like, quote-unquote decision makers actually being in schools because I feel like you guys were saying, there's a lot of decisions that are made by people who haven't been in school in several years, or they used to be a classroom teacher, or they used to be some kind of interventionist or something, but now they've moved into these other roles where they're not seeing the day-to-day issues or how this particular reading program is going, but it's still, like, the decisions are being made by these people who just haven't experienced it. So
who have forgotten that we teach kids.
Right. So I would like to see more people coming back into the classroom for kind of like a reality check.
Naomi, what would your one change be? Especially since you get to work with multiple districts, like maybe you've seen some things that you like or some common, you know, areas of change across many districts.
I think the idea of schools having more autonomy, like school buildings themselves, is very helpful. And I've seen just in some of the workings with like the early childhood programs in different districts, some people just like make decisions and do it all and don't even really need to talk to anyone. And it's just like, wow, that was really easy and very effective. And it fit the family's needs and the kids' needs. And I'm really glad we were able to have this conversation and complete it. Like, that's great that
nice.
All these decisions were made. And it wasn't like we were talking with a superintendent or the director of student services or anything. It was just whoever was on the team and we were able to do it. And that was really, really nice. I also think, I guess this is just like in my dream world, schools
mm-hmm.
would be more like community centers where you have all the services in one building, like a doctor's office and a dentist office and just kind of all those buildings. And then it feels more like a for the community and for the people that live nearby. So that's just in a dream world.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
That'd be cool.
So, I think you're right. I think there are some changes to be made. I mean, and granted, too, like, since none of us have been in, like, higher district positions, we probably don't know exactly, like, what the stresses are on
mm-hmm.
those people on the day-to-day. But, like, still, you know, I think that it's got to be obvious, like, that some things need to change because otherwise everyone around the country would be touting how great, like, the school district system of organization is. And that's not something that I don't think I've heard, like, ever, right?
I feel like the media is just saturated with negative ideas about schools and school districts and teachers and anyone in education. It's just, like, a negative connotation.
Right.
Which, back to the business model, schools also really need to be aware of PR.
Yeah,
very
totally.
And
very
districts.
True.
Otherwise, you know, they're not going to operate without the community support and without family support. But if the only things reported are the negative things or the bad test results, that's not what you see in a normal day at a school.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are struggles every single day, but what you see are amazing things going on in kids learning, even in the most challenging schools.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not seen by the public, and I think it needs to be.
So
if I had to add another thing to change, I would change that.
Yeah.
PR. I would make PR a much larger priority.
And I think if you had that community center model like you're talking about, the PR would build itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because people would be there, and they would see both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And getting use out of the utilities and like the resources that are in their community now.
Right.
I think that in the local paper they do have like a school spotlight and it's all positive stories about things that are happening.
Oh.
So I think that is, I mean, it's more broad, it's not just this district, but it's broad to like this general area.
Okay.
But it's positive stories about doing community gardens and what this classroom raised money for and just things like that. So I think that is nice and hopefully there's more of that to outweigh all of the
That sounds nice.
Negativity.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we'll solve this problem in 40 minutes or whatever we have. But it is time for the closing.
Everyone's favorite part.
Were you?
Yeah.
Really?
I was literally just going to say everyone's favorite part of the show.
All right, we're ready.
What do you feel what people tune in for? Like the closing?
Just
they
the end. I think you'll just skip to the end.
I think so. They just fast forward and they're like, I just got to hear this awesome closing that they've practiced for months.
Months.
More than one.
Still waiting.
You ready?
Still mm-hmm. waiting.
Bye.
You didn't even practice that. You just made that up right now.
Yeah,
I could see Candace was just like going with what you said.
I was trying to. It was,
I was like picturing.
It's very organic.
You know, like the notes on the sheet music that we had.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
like picturing it in my head.
You know, I forgot. We forgot to bring the sheet music and our tuner. We really.
Oh, next time.
Next time.
We're at your house.
I left it in my other house.
Thanks for listening to this episode of It's All Elementary. You can follow our podcast on Twitter. Our handle is @all_elementary. You can also download our podcast through the iTunes Store or the Stitcher app. Or you can follow us on our blog, which is allelementary.wordpress.com. Thanks.